Service from All Saints Fordham and 8 Ash Green on Sunday, the 6th of December 2020. Our Holy Communion service will be conducted under COVID guidelines, which Francis will explain later in the service. I've got the privilege of leading the service this morning, and I'm assisted by Martin LeGood, who will read our Bible passage, and Linda Grote, who will lead our prayers of intercession. We look forward to Francis, our rector, preaching from the second letter of Peter and leading our thoughts on the day of the Lord. We hope you've got sight of the service sheet for today's service, which you should have received either by email or otherwise can be obtained on the church website. It would also be useful to have a Bible handy, and we are using the New International Version. Now, being in Tier 2, we are able to now to have worship in church again. And there's a small congregation here of, I reckon, about 20. So that's good. And but whether you're here in the church or watching or listening from home, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will bring us together as a church family to worship Him, to hear His word, and to pray together. Even if you are at home and unable to partake of the elements of the Lord's Supper, we will recall Jesus' words as he shared with his disciples the bread and wine. Do this in remembrance of me. Now today is the second Sunday in Advent, Sunday of preparation. Preparation for celebrating his birth as a baby at Bethlehem, but also preparation for the promise of his second coming in glory, the second advent. We read from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 40. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way of the full Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So before we begin our service, let us commit our time together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we look forward to this Christmas time, we give thanks that you were prepared to leave the glory of heaven as a helpless babe, entering our world to give your life as a ransom, that we may be saved. Prepare us, we pray, to be ready to receive you when you come again in glory. During our service today, we will remember your ultimate sacrifice, your crucified body, your blood shed for each one of us, and salvation for all those who believe in your name. Bless our time together, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, the Gage family are going to light the second Advent candle and lead us in the collect prayer for today.
The collect prayer for the second Sunday of Advent.
O Lord, raise up, we pray, your power and come among us, and with great might help us, that whereas through our sins and wickedness we are grievously hindered in running the race that is set before us, your bountiful grace and mercy may speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
This morning is the Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, which tells of Christ coming to earth again in glory. Though he comes with clouds descending, once the favoured sinners slain, God appears on earth to reign. We thank you, Lord, that you have promised to return to this earth in power and glory, to take all who believe in your name to your heavenly kingdom. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Shall we now stand and declare what we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ believe in the words of the Nicene Creed, which is on page 2. Together we say, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, received from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Martin Le Good will now bring us our Bible reading, after which Francis will open God's word to us.
Today's Bible reading is taken from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. May I add my welcome to Alistair's. And the church has filled up a bit since the beginning of the service. So great to see a good gathering of the church family here today. And welcome to you if you're watching online at home. Well, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We want to understand your word, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to bring home its meaning to our hearts and minds. So we open our hearts to you, Father, and ask for your blessing, that you would feed us and encourage us today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Advent is the season in the church year when we consider the Bible's teaching on Jesus' second coming. As I explained last week, Advent is an Old English word meaning arrival or coming, and it especially refers to the visit of an important person. These days, Advent gets lost in Christmas, but it is vital that we don't forget the message of Advent. We've just said those words in the Nicene Creed. Jesus Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. This sermon is entitled The Day of the Lord. And as with last week's talk, I'm going to frame today's teaching around three questions. Why hasn't Jesus returned yet? What will happen on the day of the Lord? And what should we do while we wait? These questions are similar to last week, but in this letter from the Apostle Peter, we get different insights to those found in Mark chapter 13. So please have a Bible open at 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll look at some of the verses together, and I'll be teaching from the NIV 1984 translation. Page 4 of the notice sheet has space to take notes if that's helpful for you. And just to say, if there are things in this talk you don't understand or it raises questions for you, there'll be an opportunity to discuss them during the Zoom coffee time today at 11:30 this morning. So firstly, why hasn't Jesus returned yet? Last week we heard Jesus teaching that he will return in the clouds with great power and glory. But nearly 2,000 years have passed since he said that, and we're still waiting. Why hasn't it happened yet? Could it be that Jesus was mistaken? Could the Christian hope of God's perfect future kingdom be built on a false promise? Well, Peter addresses these very kinds of questions that were already being asked a few decades after Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven. Please look with me at verses 3 and 4. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" he promised. Ever since our fathers died, Everything's gone on as it has since the beginning of creation. The criticism was that the world has carried on without divine intervention since the beginning. God may have made it in the beginning, but he hasn't been involved since then. Sometimes that view is referred to as deism. Jesus quoted Isaiah in last week's reading from Mark 13, verse 24. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. But this hasn't happened since the beginning of creation. Where is this coming he promised? This was the criticism back then. And that's interesting, isn't it? Even in the first century, just a few decades after Jesus' life, these kind of questions were being asked. So it's not a new criticism. And Peter gives several reasons not to doubt Jesus' promise of his second coming. First reason, when people say that everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation, verse 5, they deliberately forget that God's word causes things to change in the world. So Peter tells us that the heavens came into existence through God's word, and the earth was formed out of water by God's word. At the time of Noah, the world was deluged and destroyed by water. So everything hasn't gone on the same since the beginning of creation, because God judged humanity in the past with a catastrophic flood. God controls the world by his word. Second reason, verse 8. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So God's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Peter's saying that God is outside our experience of time. And you can get quite philosophical about this verse. It's a very interesting statement. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Because God is not subject to time in the way that we are, we shouldn't judge him as slow because 2,000 years have passed since Jesus' birth. But there's more to it than this. Let's have a look at the main reason in verse 9. God holds back Jesus' return because he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God the Father holds back the return of his Son, Jesus Christ, to give you time to repent. That's the reason why Jesus hasn't come back yet. Verse 9 shows us that the situation for people who don't repent is that they will perish. And the word perish is also translated elsewhere in the New Testament as to die. God doesn't want people to die. And so he mercifully holds back the day of Jesus' return. From this we can see that the day of the Lord will be a final reckoning and a judgment. This is why in the past, Advent was a sober time for reflection on the seriousness of Jesus' return. Advent is about your eternal destiny, and the Bible presents two destinations: entering the fullness of God's eternal kingdom, a kingdom and reign of joy, freed from sin and its burdens, or entering a place of suffering, which Jesus called hell. Two destinies. The best response to Peter's teaching is to ask yourself if you've repented of your sinful thoughts and words and actions. The use of the word perish reminds me of John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. Perhaps the most well-known verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Peter shows us that unless we recognize that humans are destined to perish, John's Gospel shows us that unless we recognize that humans are destined to perish under God's judgment, then we'll never really understand the love of God. Unless you understand what the problem is, you can't understand the greatness of God giving his Son to die on the cross. God will rightly judge each of us when Jesus returns, each person. And with the UK government placing our country in tier two because of the coronavirus, we're reminded of our own mortality. On the news, we hear about the daily death rate increasing with the coronavirus. We won't live forever. Everybody dies of something one day. But God doesn't want anyone to perish, and so he sent his Son Jesus. John 3:16 promises that if we believe in Jesus, we will receive eternal life. And this is where we discover the love of God. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Have you humbly placed your hope in Jesus' death as the means of rescue from perishing? This is the way to experience the love of God. And if you haven't, do not delay. This is the most important action that you can take in your life. If you struggle to know what to do or what this means, please do speak to me or a friend in the church community. My contact details are at the top of this week's notice sheet, and we would love to help you. So we've considered Peter's answers to why Jesus hasn't returned yet. Let's move to our second question. What will happen on the day of the Lord? We got some details last week from Jesus' teaching in Mark's Gospel, and Peter gives us a few more. It will be a day of destruction for the world as we know it. In the past, God destroyed the world with a flood, with water. But when Jesus returns, it will be destroyed by fire. Verse 7. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So God is going to judge the earth as he did in the past with a flood. For people who are not saved and covered by the blood of Jesus, his return will be a terrible day. It will be a day of judgment. In the last 30 years, there have been lots of disaster movies have been made. The predictions of changes in the earth's temperature, rising sea levels, have been good material for blockbuster movies. The thing about those kind of threats is that they're impersonal. They result from changes in the equilibrium of the planet. In contrast, the judgment that the Bible prophesies is a personal judgment. God is a person with a personality. More accurately, he's three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. He's distinct from the world that he's created, and his good character requires justice to be done. The day of the Lord will be a day of judgment and destruction for ungodly people. Peter's teaching is uncomfortable, isn't it? Make up your mind to turn from your wrong ways. Come to God, owning up to the wrong things you've done, and ask him to look on Jesus' work on the cross in place of you. Verse 10 tells us that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Now, this is similar to Jesus' brief illustration that we looked at last week, the illustration of the household servants who don't know at what hour the owner of their house will return. Jesus told them to be ready, picturing himself as the man who would one day return to his house. Shop owners and bank managers don't know when the burglars are coming. A theft is unexpected. The robbery isn't in your diary before it happens. The thief breaks in upon your day-to-day routine. And so it will be with the day of the Lord's judgment. It will be unexpected. It will break in upon you like a thief breaking into your home. And for this reason, don't delay in repenting and getting right with God. Jesus may come back tomorrow. He may even come back today. Don't leave your repentance until it's too late. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So the passing of 2,000 years since the birth of Jesus makes it no less likely that he will return today or tomorrow. Get ready for the Lord's unexpected return. What will happen on the day of the Lord? Verse 10. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. It's an epic vision, isn't it? Are you ready for this day if it comes in your lifetime? All the securities that human society offers will be of no defense on that day. The fire service, government security strategies, the NHS, military defenses, household insurance, the love of family and friends, a large bank balance. None of these things will make any difference. Only one thing will save you on that day: humbly trusting in the punishment of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he was judged in your place. Put your trust in him today. In 1945, America dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima in Japan. In the following years, a general fear developed regarding the power of this new weapon. In America, many songs were recorded which took atomic power and its potential for destruction as their theme. Some were frivolous, some were serious. Song titles like Atomic Cocktail, When the Atom Bomb Fell, The Atomic Telephone, and Atom Bomb Baby were song titles from that era. The one that I know is one of my favorite gospel songs, recorded by the Pilgrim Travelers in 1951. It's called Jesus Hits Like an Atom Bomb, and it fits very well with Peter's teaching. Musically, the recording is interesting because there are no instruments, just voices and a simple beat. And we hear in it the roots of rap music in the verses of the song. The songwriter Lee McCollum writes about the public fear generated by the atomic bomb, but that in contrast, no one seems worried about the day of the Lord. Let's listen to it now.
You know now
everybody's worried about that atom bomb. And no one seems worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You better
set your house in order.
Well, he
may be coming soon.
Well,
then he'll hit like an atom bomb when he comes, when he comes.
In 1945, the atom bomb became alive. 1949, the U.S. They got very wise. They found that a country across the line had an atom bomb of the very same kind. People got worried over the land, just like the people in Japan. God told Elijah he'd send down fire from the sky. Sure don't know about the rainbow sign. Won't be water but fire next time.
And no, now everybody's worried about that atom bomb. Hey, no one seemed worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You'd better
set your house in order.
Well, he
may be coming soon.
Well,
then he'll hit like an atom bomb when he comes, when he comes. come.
Now don't you get worried, bear in mind, trust King Jesus and you shall find peace, happiness, joy divine, with my Savior on the line. God told Elijah he'd send down fire from the sky. You said you would, and I believe you will. He'll fight your battle if you keep still.
You know now, everybody's worried about that atom bomb. Hey, no one seem worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You'd better
set your house in order.
Well, he
may be coming soon.
Well, then you
hey,
my Lord, you know he'll
hit like an atom bomb when he comes. When he comes,
you know now
everybody's worried about that atom bomb.
Hey,
no one seem worried about the day my Lord shall come.
You'd better
set your house in order.
Well, he
may be coming soon.
Well, and you
hey,
my Lord, you know he'll
hit like an atom bomb when he comes.
So that's recorded about 70 years ago, and it is interesting to see how public fears shift over time, don't they? So there's not a general public concern about the atom bomb anymore. It's shifted to climate change, producing environmental disasters, the threat of terrorist attacks, and the fear of COVID-19 for older people and those with a weak immunity. These things are real concerns. But if we believe in Jesus Christ and the teachings of the Bible, then the perspective of the Pilgrim Traveler's song is right. The day of the Lord should be of greater concern to us because it's about eternity. It will be a day of judgment and destruction. So we should be concerned about our own fate on that day. We should be concerned about the fate of our family. And we should be concerned about our friends and neighbors and colleagues at work. Well, thirdly and finally, what should we do while we wait for the day of the Lord? Please look with me at verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. What should we do? Seek to live a holy life that's pleasing to God. That is the Christian response to the coming of Jesus' second advent. Christian people can look forward to the day of God. It's going to be a great blessing to us when Jesus returns. Yes, the earth and the heavens will be destroyed by fire, but that isn't the end. Verse 13, in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. God is going to destroy the earth, but then he will renew it just like he did after Noah's flood. The new earth is going to be great. Peter says it will be the home of righteousness. That is a home where everything is right. In this life, a happy home is one of the greatest things that we can have. And this December, Sainsbury's have put nostalgia for the happy Christmas feast on Christmas Day at the heart of their advertising. Most people long for a happy home. The day of God promises a home where everything is right. Death and injustice are a thing of the past. And there'll be no more virus plagues. People who repent of their sins and trust Jesus can look forward to this new heaven and earth where righteousness and goodness will reign. And since we have this to look forward to, verse 14, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. Later on in our service, we will remember Jesus' body and blood sacrificed so that we can have peace with God. As you eat the bread and wine, it will be a moment to come humbly to God and to put your trust in Christ afresh. And I'll explain how we'll eat in a COVID-safe way later on. Let me summarize. Why hasn't Jesus returned yet? Well, God controls the world by his word. He's not subject to time in the way that we are. And he's holding Jesus' return back because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but rather everyone's come to repentance. What will happen on the day of the Lord? Well, it will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear. The earth will be destroyed by fire and laid bare. It will be a day of judgment and destruction for ungodly people. So the prophecies about Jesus' second advent in the New Testament are a call to repentance. And thirdly, what should we do while we wait? We're promised that the renewed earth will be a wonderful home. We should look forward to this with hope, and we should live holy and godly lives as we look forward to this coming day. Let's take a moment of quiet to reflect on 2 Peter chapter 3. Heavenly Father, this is an epic vision that your word brings before us. And we pray, Lord, that we would be ready for that day, trusting the Lord Jesus, seeking to honor him in the way that we live. Please lead us, Father, and we pray for our family and friends, those whom we love and care for, Lord, that you would call them to a saving faith and trust in your Son. Amen.
Thank you very much, Francis. Our next song again speaks of the Lord's return in glory, when every knee shall bow. What words of assurance in verse 4? The judge of all will take his children home. The hymn is, Jesus is Lord.
Arms of God. We come before you now, Lord, with our prayers of intercession. We are reminded not to be anxious about anything, but in everything to bring our requests to God with thanksgiving. At a time when we are surrounded by so much chaos and uncertainty, forgive us that we so quickly not only forget to be thankful, but also to turn to you in prayer. In the words of the old hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So we thank you for provision of our material needs. In a week that has seen the first cold snap of winter weather, we thank you for shelter, warmth, and light on cold, dark days. But we remember those in our own country who are homeless or poorly housed, and in so doing pray for those who seek to bring relief. Especially we pray for the work of Beacon House and Open Door in our own town, and ask for wisdom and guidance for the future plans for the soup run in post-pandemic times. We thank you that those who were sleeping on our streets have been given shelter, and we pray that such provision might be an initial step to establishing a more stable lifestyle. We give thanks for the things we too often take for granted: clean water and sanitation, food in abundance, clothing, electricity and heating. And yet within our own nation we know that an increasing number of families live in deprivation and poverty. Thank you for the work of the food banks, and we ask too that there may be those in need locally who feel able to accept practical help and provision offered in your name by members of this congregation. We thank you for employment, not simply for financial security and pension, but for the sense of fulfillment and purpose in life. And in a week that has seen so many job losses nationally, we pray for those faced with unemployment and all the surrounding anxieties. We thank you for our health and strength, which again we all too often ignore until we become unwell or infirm. Thank you for all those working in the health and social care sectors to bring relief and comfort. And we rejoice that we live in a nation blessed with a national health service. We celebrate the news of a vaccine against COVID-19 and pray for wisdom and safety with the distribution and administration of this to hasten return to a life free from the various restrictions we have had to endure since the outbreak of the pandemic. We know of several members of our own church family who are daily facing particular concerns around their own health issues or watching the struggles of those precious to them. And particularly at this time, we pray for Brenda Gant and Brian, and we remember Brenda as she goes for investigations at the end of this week. Let us now have a moment of quiet to pray for them and name others on our hearts before you now. We thank you that we live in a democracy and remember all those who work in government locally and nationally, praying that they may act justly and wisely in these difficult times with the challenges of the pandemic and Brexit. Forgive us, Lord, that as a nation we have turned away from your ways, and we ask that you will equip Christians working in government to act boldly. At this time, we remember the many nations and peoples living in fear and oppression. We pray for Hong Kong, for the ongoing violence in Nigeria, and the persecution of many worldwide. And thank you for the work of organizations such as the Barnabas Trust, Release International, and Open Doors. Help us not to take our religious freedom in this country for granted, and to continue to support the work of the Christian Institute in actively defending this. This Christmas will be very different for so many. As we are thankful for families, we remember many who will be lonely and isolated. Especially we think of many who have been bereaved over the past year, and how poignant and raw that loss can be at a time of family gatherings. We today pray for comfort for all those bereaved and affected by the explosion in Avonmouth this week. Wherever you place us, help us to be kind, caring, and sensitive, to shine your light into the darkness. And we thank you for the reminder and promise that we can look forward to the coming of a new heaven and a new earth. As we prepare for Christmas, we thank you for the godly leadership of Francis, our rector, and give thanks for those who support and enable him, for his wife Georgina, the PCC and church wardens, and the office team. We pray that all the planning for the services will be blessed by you. And as leaflets are distributed throughout the parishes in the run-up to Christmas, they will be read and provide time for reflection with the opportunity to participate in Christianity Explored in the new year. Supremely Father, we thank you for sending your Son for our salvation, not only as the babe in a manger, but we look forward to the coming of the risen, glorious Lord. As we go out into another week with its many challenges, let us carry in our hearts words from Lamentations. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen.
We continue in an attitude of prayer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come to the Lord's Supper, we must recall the promises and warnings given to us in the Scriptures. Let us therefore examine ourselves and repent of our sins. Let us give thanks to God for his redemption of the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we remember Christ's death for us and receive this pledge of his love, let us resolve to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. In a moment, we'll confess our sins together. The words are on page 3 of the service sheet. A moment of quiet for reflection. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are heartily sorry and repent of all our sins. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life. To the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with heartfelt repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite all who've been baptized, who have a repentant heart and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to eat in remembrance of his precious death for our salvation. We welcome members of other churches who already participate in the Lord's Supper in their own church. Let me give you some details of how we will celebrate the Lord's Supper in a COVID-safe way. I prepared the bread on Friday by adding a drop of wine to each wafer. This means that everyone can receive both wine and bread. I know that all of you will want to honour God by obeying his command to remember Jesus through the communion. However, I want you to feel no pressure to participate if you have any concerns about your own health. During the distribution, I will wear a face mask and I'll come to you in your seat. Please keep your face mask on. And if you'd like to receive the bread and wine, please hold out your hands, one on top of the other. I will drop the bread into your hand so that our hands don't touch. And when I've moved away, please remove your mask so that you can eat the bread and wine. If you're in the gallery and you would like to participate, please can you come down and stand under the balcony, socially distance. So we come to this moment humbly, with gratitude for the eternal life which Jesus can give us. Hear the words of comfort our Saviour Christ says to all who truly turn to him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And hear what St. Paul says. This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We continue on page 3. Let's praise God together for his goodness. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right. It's our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and eternal God. And now we give you thanks because you sent him to redeem us from sin and death and to make us inheritors of everlasting life. That when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may with joy behold his appearing and in confidence may stand before him. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We pray together the prayer of humble access on page 3. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in your tender mercy gave your only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, he instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, we humbly pray, and grant that we, receiving these gifts of your creation, this bread and this wine, according to your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. Take and eat this remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul to everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Let us pray. Father in heaven, who sent your Son to redeem the world and will send him again to be our judge, give us grace so to imitate him in the humility and purity of his first coming, that when he comes again, we may be ready to greet him with joyful love and firm faith. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Alistair's going to lead us in saying the Lord's Prayer.
Let us join together in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now Francis will give us the church news and conclude with the blessing.
Thank you, Alistair. Do join. Well, let's see what the time is. Okay, be a bit of a hurry to get back for Zoom coffee. But those listening at home, look forward to seeing you on Zoom at 11:30. This is a great opportunity for us to connect together as a church. And as I said earlier, there'll be the opportunity to discuss today's teaching together. The All Saints Club will be running this afternoon on Zoom. The Luke group for 4 to 11-year-olds at 3 p.m. and the Matthew group for 11 to 15-year-olds at 4 p.m. This week, do please pray for the following. The PCC will be meeting on Tuesday evening. On Wednesday evening, Georgina and I will be leading the Fordham School Christmas service. This will be on Zoom and it will be a Christingle. And there are just over 100 families in the school. So do please pray that it will be a fun and meaningful time together. And this Thursday, we hold the final session of the current Christianity Explored course. Do please pray for that. If you're interested in joining an Explore course yourself in the new year, please get in touch with the church office. And I'm looking for one or two people to join the team of leaders who run these courses. Please do contact me if you'd like to serve in this way. Next Sunday, Paul Southern will be preaching on John the Baptist, Witness to Jesus, and the All Saints Club will be running in the afternoon. This year's Christmas program will be published on the church website towards the end of this week. This year, you'll need to book places for all the Christmas services, and bookings will be run via the church office. And members of the church family, please do get involved with serving to enable this year's program. On page 6 of the notice sheet are a couple of ways to get involved. We're looking to deliver a Christmas flyer and a Christmas message to over 1,000 homes in our parish. And we want to do this between this coming Saturday and the following Wednesday, 16th of December. So please volunteer to cover a set of roads if you can. Many hands will make light work. On Christmas Eve, we plan to hold an outdoor carol service in the Fordham Church car park. And I look forward to this exciting opportunity. But we can only run this safely if we have at least 11 stewards. So far, we only have 3 definite stewards. We need to make a decision on whether to go ahead with this week, so please do volunteer by letting Rachel Gage know if you can serve in this way by this coming Tuesday, the 8th of December, so just 2 days' time. This week is a special occasion for the Holt family because Isaac will turn 18 years old this coming Saturday. So congratulations to you, Isaac, and we wish you a very happy birthday from all of us in the All Saints Church family. Finally, there are details on the back of the notice sheet for next year's Future Leaders Conference, which is happening, I think, in January. This is being run by the Renew Church Network, and it's for men and women who want to consider how best they can serve God in the church. It will answer questions like, is set aside gospel ministry for me? What training do I need? How will this affect my family? And what about the uncertainties in the Church of England? So do consider that. And if you know someone who you think might benefit from that, do let them know about it. We've come to the end of our time together. Let's finish with a prayer and the blessing. Heavenly Father, we've looked at awesome things in your word today. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is our Saviour through the coming judgment. And we thank you for the bread and wine of communion as reminders of what he's done for us. We put our trust in you at this time, Lord Jesus. And may Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.